seconds long. Our position, orbiting Psi 2000, an ancient world, now a frozen wasteland, about to rip apart in its death throes. Our mission? Pick up a scientific party below. Observe the disintegration of the planet.
In the research station, a figure sits at a desk. The figure and everything in the room are covered with thick frost. Spock and a lieutenant, both wearing orange protective suits, beam down into the room. Spock runs his scanner over the frozen body at the desk.
Check out the life support systems.
Right, sir.
The lieutenant goes. Spock turns and sees a woman's body in an adjoining room. Feet crunching in the thick covering of frost, he goes and crouches beside her, turning on his scanner. The lieutenant returns.
All life systems were off, sir.
Someone strangled this woman.
And the other four are back there.
Dead?
Right, sir.
Engineer at his post?
He's frozen there like he didn't care.
The rest?
Well, better look for yourself, Mr. Spock. One man was taking a shower, fully clothed.
Spock goes to investigate. The lieutenant comes back to the first room, takes out a smaller type of scanner, and makes an adjustment to the setting ring. As he works, he twitches his nose. He puts the device down, peels off one of his orange gloves, slips his hand under his protective headgear, scratches his nose, and without putting the glove back on, picks up the scanner and kneels under the desk. Placing his bare hand onto the frost-covered side of the desk to steady himself, he takes a measurement. From a pink stain in the frost, two red drops of liquid creep upward onto his finger. He finishes his measurements, stands up, shakes his hand, and sniffs it. He slips his glove back on. Spock comes back into the room.
Certain we expose ourselves to nothing. Spock here, do you read Enterprise?
Kirk, affirmative.
All station personnel are dead.
What caused it?
Unknown, Captain. It's like nothing we've dealt with before.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its five-year mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Star Trek, created by Gene Roddenberry. Starring William Shatner, Leonard Nimoy as Mr. Spock. The Naked Time.
Captain's log, stardate 1704.2. The science party we were to have picked up has been found dead. Life support systems had been turned off, station personnel frozen to death. Conditions highly unusual. Meanwhile, we remain in orbit to complete our mission. Close scientific measurement of the breakup of this planet.
In the transporter room, Scotty beams up Spock and the lieutenant. Spock holds out an arm, preventing the lieutenant from leaving.
You received my signal, Mr. Scott.
Yes, sir. Decontaminate.
Scotty's assistant hits a button. Lights pulse in the transporter chamber.
Captain here.
Spock and Tormolin aboard, sir. We're holding him in the chamber for decontamination.
Better have Madison look them over, too. Tell Mr. Spock I'll meet him there in 10 minutes. Kirk out.
The lieutenant, Joe Tormolin, lies on the diagnostic table in the dispensary.
You're fine, Joe. Up and out of there.
The table tilts to vertical.
Mr. Spock?
Spock steps onto the table and McCoy's assistant tilts it back to horizontal. McCoy checks the readings.
Your pulse is 242. Your blood pressure is practically non-existent. Assuming you call that green stuff in your veins blood.
The readings are perfectly normal for me, Doctor, thank you. And as for my anatomy being different from yours, I am delighted.
Tormelin rubs his hand over his arm as Kirk comes in.
Captain?
How are they?
They're fine, Joe.
Terrible, Captain. It was terrible. They were just sitting, like they didn't care. Whatever was happening, they didn't care. I keep wondering.
You keep wondering if man was meant to be out here. You keep wondering, and keep signing on. Any guesses, Mr. Spock? Any idea of what happened down there?
I wish I could say, Captain. Circumstances were quite bizarre. However, our record tapes may show us something.
Six dead. Six people dead.
You better get some rest.
Yes, sir.
Set up those tapes, Mr. Spock. We'll see if the answers are there.
Kirk and Spock leave.
The lab status report, Doctor.
Oh, thank you, Rusty.
Tormelin rubs his hand over his T-shirt and looks closely at his palm. In a briefing room, Yeoman Janice Rand hands Spock a tape.
Next tape, please.
Spectroanalysis tape, sir.
Thank you.
Film of the IC research station comes up on screen. Kirk, Scotty, and McCoy look at the frozen body sitting at its desk.
Almost as though they were irrational, drugged. An engineer sitting there apparently oblivious to everything, a woman strangled, a crewman with a phaser pistol in his hand.
He'd used the computer room as if it were an amusement gallery.
And a fully clothed man frozen to death in a shower. If the image wasn't so ugly, it'd be laughable. Not even a theory, gentlemen?
Definitely not drugs or intoxication. The bioanalysis on the tapes proved that conclusively.
Could be some form of space madness we've never heard of. But it would have to be caused by something. Our spectral readings showed no contamination, no unusual elements present.
But at least none your tricorders could register.
Instruments register only those things they're designed to register. Space still contains infinite unknowns.
Earth science needs the closest possible measurement of the breakup of this planet. To do this, we need the Enterprise in a critically tight orbit. Question. Could what happened down there to those people create any unusual danger to this vessel and crew?
He looks around the table.
We will need top efficiency, Captain. It'll be a tricky orbit. When a planet begins to go, there may be drastic changes in gravity, mass, magnetic field.
The purpose of a briefing, gentlemen, is to get me answers based on your abilities and experience. In a critical orbit, there's no time for surprise.
Unless you people on the bridge start taking showers with your clothes on, my engines can pull us out of anything. We'll be warping out of orbit within a half second of getting your command.
Bridge to Captain.
Kirk here.
Scanners report sudden 4-degree shift in planet magnetic field. A change in mass also, sir.
It's beginning. Unusually rapid shifts.
On our way, Lieutenant. I'll hold you that a half second, Scotty.
In a rec room, a couple are playing a board game. A man puts a data file into the slot of a food synthesizer. The door of the synthesizer opens to reveal a covered plate on a tray. Lieutenant Tormelin takes the tray to a table and sits down. He glances at his hand. He wipes his hand against his uniform, and then with his napkin. Sulu comes in with Riley, a lieutenant from navigation.
Foil. It's a rapier. A thin sword.
All right. So what do you do with it?
What do you mean, what do you do with it?
Self-defense? Mayhem? Shish kebab?
Your practice.
For what?
Hi, Joey.
Last week, it was botany he was trying to get me interested in. I was supposed to be collecting leaves, plant specimens.
Your attitude is all wrong. Fencing tones a muscle, sharpens the eye, improves the posture. You tell him, Joey. Explain to him.
Tormelin wipes his hand.
Hey, Joey.
You feeling all right?
Get off me. You don't rank me and you don't have pointed ears, so just get off my neck.
What's with him?
Nothing.
Everyone in the rec room stares.
Attention. Engine room on standby alert. All duty personnel to the bridge. Acknowledge.
You sure you're all right now, Joe? We've got to leave.
We're all a bunch of hypocrites. Stick our noses into something that we've got no business. What are we doing out here anyway?
Take it easy, Joe.
Tormelin shrugs Sulu's hand away and stands.
Bring pain and trouble with us. Leave men and women stuck out on freezing planets until they die. What are we doing out here in space? Good? What good? We're polluting it, destroying it. We've got no business being out here, no business.
Take it easy.
He grabs a knife.
If a man was supposed to fly, he'd have wings. If he was supposed to be out in space, he wouldn't need air to breathe. Wouldn't need life support systems to keep him from freezing to death.
Hey, Joey, put the knife down, huh?
You're all steamed up, Joe. We don't belong here. It's not ours. Not ours. Destroying and watching.
He turns the knife.
We don't belong. I don't belong. 6 people died down there. Why do I deserve to live?
What are you doing, Joe? Hey, Joey, put the knife down. Don't be afraid, Joe. You just get messed with him.
They wrestle to stop Tormelin stabbing himself. Riley prizes his hand open.
Joey!
They all fall to the floor.
Joe, give me the knife.
Tormelin falls face down. Sulu turns him over. The front of his blue uniform top is stained with blood. Tormelin puts his hand to the wound. Riley runs for the intercom.
Emergency! Rec room, area 39. We need medics!
Riley looks down at his own hand and begins rubbing it compulsively.
Captain's log supplemental. Our orbit tightening. Our need for efficiency critical. But unknown to us, a totally new and unusual disease has been brought aboard.
Relative gravity increasing, sir.
Compensate, Mr. Riley.
Yes, sir. Magnetic field continuing to shift, sir. Planet continuing to shrink in mass.
The planet fills the bottom of the view screen.
Mr. Spock?
All scanning stations manned, all recorders functioning, Captain.
Orbit steady now, sir.
Obviously, this planet is condensing more rapidly than expected. A valuable study. We may be seeing Earth's distant future. Before its sun went dark, this planet was remarkably similar to yours.
Helm answering nicely, Captain.
Good.
Kirk gets up and goes over to Uhura at the communications console.
Communications status, Captain.
At the con, Riley, sitting at navigation, wipes his hand against his uniform, and Lieutenant Sulu at the helm absently rubs his fingers together.
Tormelin's record?
Psychiatric file, personality quotients.
Was he trying to kill himself?
It's doubtful he meant to. He was confused, self-tortured.
Doesn't sound like the man I know.
His capacity for self-doubt has always been rather high. What puzzles me is what brought it to the surface with so much force.
They exchange a glance. In the operating theater, Dr. McCoy is performing surgery on Lieutenant Tormelin, closing up his stab wound. Nurse Chapel passes him each instrument as he holds out his hand. The platinum-haired nurse glances anxiously at the biofunction screen and down at Tormelin, whose top lip is glistening with sweat. On the monitor, all the arrows indicating his vital signs are beginning to slip.
His breathing rate is dropping, Doctor.
Compensate with the respirator.
Chapel places a small mask over Tormelin's mouth and nose. The vital signs monitors keep dipping.
Stand by to close.
She hands McCoy another instrument.
Closing.
He takes an auto suture from Nurse Chapel and seals the incision. On the bridge, the alert signal on the con flashes red. Kirk hurries down.
What is it? Relative gravity increase, sir. Like the planet reached out and yanked at us.
Compensate.
Sulu reacts, but Riley is rubbing his hand distractedly.
Compensate.
Kirk hits a button on the nav console.
Orbit steady now, sir. Maybe a little nervous, I guess.
Sulu grins.
This shouldn't be happening.
Tormelin's vital signs are fading.
This man should be getting stronger. You sure the respirator's functioning properly?
Yes, Doctor.
Why is this man dying? Hypo.
Nurse Chapel passes him a hypo spray. McCoy checks it and delivers a dose. The arrows on the biomonitor continue to fall.
He's dead, Doctor.
The wounds were not that severe.
Nurse Chapel takes the mask from Tormelin's face.
This is McCoy, Captain Kirk to sick bay.
Uhura, monitor communications. Tell McCoy I'll be there when I can.
Yes, sir.
Planet breakup is imminent, Captain. Shrinking in size at an increasing rate. As the planet continues to shrink in size, its surface moves away from us,
forcing us to spiral down to maintain the same distance from it.
Exactly. We must be prepared to respond instantly to any sudden change.
Engine room from bridge.
Scott here, Captain.
Tie into the helm, Scotty. If we should call for power, we'll want it fast.
No problem, sir. You'll have it.
Rate of compaction seems constant.
Then I'll go see what the good doctor wants. Keep me informed of any change, Mr. Spock.
Acknowledged.
Kirk goes. Sulu rubs his hand.
Don't know if it's this planet or what happened with Joe. I'm sweating like a bridegroom.
Yeah, me too.
Sulu gets up.
Why don't you come down to the gym with me, Kevin, my lad?
Now?
Why not? Light workout will take the edge off. Hey, Sulu, what about you? Hey, Sulu, don't be a fool. Come.
Sulu tiptoes to the lift. The crew, busy with their tasks, don't see him go. Riley looks anxiously at the vacant helm. In the dispensary...
Intestinal damage wasn't that severe. I got to him in plenty of time. That man should still be alive. Only reason he died, Jim, is he didn't want to live. He gave up.
That's a supposition, Dr. Not a fact.
Well, it may be. It may be. I've lost patients before, but not like that. Not Joe's kind. That kind of man doesn't give up.
He mops his face with a towel. Kirk gets up.
Coincidence?
Kirk shrugs.
Maybe.
You mean that Joe is down on the planet's surface and you're going to ask me if it's connected?
That's exactly what I was going to ask.
Jim, he was decontaminated. He's been medically checked. We've run every test we know for everything
That's
we know.
That's not good enough.
Well, we're doing everything as possible.
Bones, I want the impossible checked out, too.
On the bridge, Spock glances at a view screen and sees the Enterprise orbit deteriorating and no one at the helm.
Why isn't Mr. Sulu at the station?
Magnetic pull compensated for, sir. Orbit steady.
Take over here, Rand.
Yes, sir.
Spock turns to Riley.
You haven't answered my question. Where is Mr. Sulu?
Have no fear, O'Reilly's here. And one Irishman is worth 10,000.
You're relieved, you... Mr. O'Reilly. Lieutenant Uhura, take over the station.
Yes, sir.
Now, that's what I like. Let the women work, too. Universal suffrage.
Report the sick bay, Mr. O'Reilly.
Sick bay? Exactly where I was heading. Sir.
Security. Mr. O'Reilly is headed for sick bay. See to it he arrives. Captain Kirk to the bridge.
Thumbs tucked in his belt, Riley steps out of the lift close to sick bay. He saunters down the corridor. A female crewman passes by and Riley turns a complete circle trying to keep her slim body in view. He puffs his cheeks and blows at the doors to the medical center. They open, and Riley stands half hidden in the dispensary doorway, peeping into sick bay. He ambles up behind Nurse Chapel, seated at her computer, and taps her on the shoulder.
Where's Joe?
Well, he died, didn't he?
Yes.
You know something? You have such lovely eyes, pretty lady.
He cups her chin in his hand.
I know he was a friend of yours. This must be a terrible shock.
You know what Joe's mistake was? He wasn't born an Irishman.
He scampers off. Chapel stares at the closing doors and rubs the back of her hand over her chin where Riley touched her. She looks at her fingers and rubs her hands together, puzzled. Elsewhere, Sulu leaps out of a lift, bare-chested, with a fencing sword.
Richelieu, beware!
He swishes the blade through the air. Advancing down the corridor in a succession of quick lunges, he peeps round the corner, holds his blade up to admire it, and presses his thumb down on the tip, which has no guard button. He sucks his thumb and leaps out at two approaching crewmen.
Stand! No farther.
He comes on guard and advances on them.
No escape for you. You either leave this bar bloodied or with my blood on your swords.
They flee. He climbs a ladder into environmental engineering.
Cowards!
Lieutenant Brent, relieve Miss Uhura.
Yes, sir.
Kirk comes onto the bridge.
What were their symptoms?
Not violent at this stage. Slightly disoriented, Riley seemed rather pleased with himself, as if he were...
Irrational. Or drugged.
Precisely.
Security, Lieutenant Uhura.
Yes, sir.
Both Sulu and Riley, locate and confine. I want every crewman who comes in contact with them medically checked.
Sir, Level 2, Corridor 3 reports a disturbance. Mr. Sulu chasing crewman with a sword.
Put security on it.
Fascinating. A pattern is developing. First, Tormolin. Hidden personality traits being forced to the surface. Then Riley, who fancies himself a descendant of Irish kings. And now Sulu, who is at heart a swashbuckler out of your 18th century.
The ship rocks.
Present condition of Psi 2000.
Gravity pull increasing. We've shifted 2% and should stabilize our position.
Helmsman, stabilize position.
Helm is not answering to control.
Warp us out of here.
No response from engine, sir.
Impulse power, then. Blast us out of this orbit.
Impulse engine's also dead, sir.
Engine room, we need power.
Mr. Scott, acknowledge. Our controls are dead.
He looks at Spock.
Take her.
Sulu appears.
Sulu,
at last.
Sulu, put that thing away.
For honor, queen, and France.
Sulu fends off Kirk and Spock. He makes a series of wild passes with his sword.
Sulu.
Ah.
Sulu, give me that. Sulu!
I'll protect you, fair maiden.
Sorry, neither.
Oh, Sulu.
Uhura pulls free, Kirk leaps on Sulu, Spock pinches his shoulder, and Sulu collapses unconscious.
I'd like you to teach me that sometime.
Take D'Artagnan here to sickbay.
Scotty, we need power. Engine room, acknowledge.
You rang, sir?
Who's this?
This is Captain Kevin Thomas Riley of the Starship Enterprise. And who is this?
This is Captain Kirk. Get out of the engine room, navigator. Where's Mr. Scott?
I've relieved Mr. Scott of his duties.
Kirk hurries to the lift. The doors don't open.
Your captain speaking. I'd like double portions of ice cream for the entire crew.
Clear that too, will you?
Yes, sir.
And now, your captain will render an ancient Irish favor. I'll take you
captain.
Home.
At our present rate of descent, we have less than 20 minutes before we enter planet atmosphere.
I'm burned up, I know, Mr. Spock.
Kirk goes. Spock casts a jaundiced eye at the loudspeaker relaying Riley's voice.
Captain's log, stardate 1704.4. Ship out of control, spiraling down towards planet Psi 2000. We have 19 minutes of life left. Without engine power or helm control.
How did Riley get in there?
He ran in, said you wanted us on the bridge.
He's cut off both helm and power.
Then he shut the door behind us and locked off the mechanism.
Can't you get to the auxiliary?
I can't. He's hooked everything through the main panel in there. Get up to my office and pull the plans for this bulkhead.
The only way to get that door open is to cut through these wall sockets here.
The roses all have left your cheeks.
Riley wanders around the engineering control room.
Status reports all sections.
Mr. Spock, a fight in the after ward room. Security reports incidents among the crewmen are increasing.
Go to alert Baker 2. Seal off main sections.
All decks. Alert system B2. Repeat. Go to alert condition Baker 2. Seal off all main sections. Stand by.
Seal off, Captain, if we can minimize the spread of whatever this is.
Continue the alert, Lieutenant.
I can't, sir. He's cut off the alert channels.
Lieutenant Uhura, you've interrupted my song. I'm sorry, but there'll be no ice cream for you tonight.
Cut him off.
I can't, sir. There's no way to do it.
Attention, crew. This is Captain Riley. There will be a formal dance in the bowling alley at 1900 hours tonight.
No way, Captain. He controls the main power panels. He can override any channel from down there. 17 minutes left, sir.
The bridge tilts and everyone is thrown to the floor. In sickbay, McCoy is thrown across the bed where Sulu is held down by restraints. Kirk and the crew regain their seats.
Sickbay to bridge.
Can you tie me into the sickbay?
I'm getting you, Jim. Look, can you keep this beast level? I've got Sulu tranquilized. We're running tests on him.
So far, there's nothing unusual in his bloodstream. Body functions seem normal.
Riley's the immediate problem, Doctor. Is there any way, anything you can do to snap him out of it?
Negative until I can get a little further on these tests.
This is Captain Riley. Crew, I have some additional orders.
In the future, all female crew members will wear their hair loosely about their shoulders.
And use restraint in putting on your makeup. Women should not look made up. And now, crew, I will render Kathleen one more time.
Please, not again.
I'll take you home again, Kathleen.
Scotty crawls up an access tube and places several bypass monitors on the junction boxes of the pipes and conduits which line the cramped space. He crawls back down the tube where an engineer is waiting.
Fade away and die.
I've set the jumpers up there. Stand by till I give you a signal.
In engineering, Riley punches intercom buttons at random.
Your loving eyes.
Scotty arrives at the door outside engineering control.
Engineering to bridge. Try your helm. You'll have enough power to keep her stabilized. Yeah, let's have a look at that.
His assistant has drawn a cutting guide on the wall next to the door. On the bridge, Spock checks his figures. The planet fills the view screen.
16 minutes left, Captain. We've stabilized, but still spiraling down.
Emergency signal, Captain. Both decks 4 and 5. Fights and disorders.
Get me sick bay.
I have no intercom for sick bay. He keeps switching channels.
See
on
what me. You can do to help Dr. McCoy. Better check Scotty first. Move him faster. He's got to get through that bulkhead.
Scotty starts cutting through the bulkhead with a phaser. Coming out of a lift, Spock encounters a crewman holding a red paintbrush.
Crewman, report to the lab.
On the wall, he's painted Love Mankind.
I'll take you home again, Shen.
What's going on?
Mr. Spock, I'm trying to get to the bridge and this crewman won't let me by.
Crewman, stand aside.
Oh, yes, sir.
He does, for a moment.
I'll take you home again, Shen.
Outside the locked engineering room door, Scotty's assistant holds a sensor to help guide Scotty as he cuts along the marked-out lines with the phaser pistol. Spock arrives.
Message from the captain.
Tell him I'm doing my best. If I cut through the wrong circuits...
We have 14 minutes left.
Even if we were under full-scale attack, I couldn't move any faster, not maintain a safety factor.
At the rate you're proceeding, calculations show that you'll take a minute and a half, more than we have left. You can't afford a safety factor.
He goes. Scotty resumes cutting. In sickbay, Sulu lies on his back, sedated and secured by arm and leg restraints to a biobed. McCoy runs a scanner over the lieutenant's muscular torso.
Biopsy lab. Biopsy, where's my report? Biopsy, come in. Harrison, where's my report?
He gets up.
I'm going to the lab.
Sir?
Yes?
The tranquilizer's wearing off.
Oh, good. I'll need him conscious now. Continue to examine him on circuits K1 and 3.
Of course, Doctor.
McCoy throws a puzzled look over his shoulder at Nurse Chapel as he hurries away. She turns back to Sulu, who's beginning to come round, and picks up the scanner. She has second thoughts and puts the scanner down. She looks at her hands. wipes her palms together, puts a hand to her coiffured platinum hair, and with a flirtatious smile crosses to a mirror. Sulu stirs. On the bridge, the man at the helm giggles helplessly.
Get him out of here.
Yeoman Rand comes in.
I would have gotten here sooner, sir, but Crewman Moody stopped me in the hall. Sir?
Take the helm.
Yes, sir.
Kirk shakes an apathetic crewman awake, then goes over to Uhura.
One more.
At least try cutting him off.
Sir, if I could cut him off, don't you think I...
She pulls herself together.
Yes, sir, I'll keep trying.
Sorry.
She smiles. Kirk goes back to the captain's chair.
Scotty.
Engine room.
We've got 12 minutes left. It'll take at least two or three of them to get the engines up to power now.
Then we'll make it, sir, if all goes right.
Call me when you've cut through. I want to be there. Kirk out.
Spock comes into sickbay where Nurse Chapel is admiring her hair.
Nurse? Where is Dr. McCoy?
He's gone to the lab.
Spock goes to the dispensary intercom. Nurse Chapel follows.
Lab. Lab, respond, please. Spock here. Lab.
He turns. She grabs his hand.
Mr. Spock.
Is it, nurse?
Mr. Spock. The men from Vulcan treat their women strangely.
He gives her a puzzled look.
At least people say that. But you're part human, too. I know you don't. You couldn't. Hurt me, would you?
She's holding his hand in both of hers, gently, but with a perplexed frown. He pulls it free and turns uncertainly to the door.
I'm in love with you, Mr. Spock.
He turns back slowly, his brown eyes bewildered, looks at her, and then down at his hand. She steps towards him.
You, the human Mr. Spock. Vulcan, Mr. Spock.
Nurse, you should...
Christine, please. I see things, how honest you are.
She takes his hand.
I know how you feel. You hide it. But you do have feeling. Oh, how we must hurt you, torture you.
I'm in control of my emotions.
The others believe that. I don't. I love you. I don't know why, but I love you. I do love you. Just as you are. Oh, I love you.
Sorry.
Captain is en route engineering, Mr. Spock. Can you take the bridge? Acknowledge.
I am sorry.
Christine.
He nods solicitously.
Christine.
Bridge to sick bay. Is Mr. Spock there?
Spock turns and leaves the room. Nurse Chapel leans against the wall, resting her head with a wistful smile. Outside, Spock holds his head in his hands.
Mr. Spock, would you please acknowledge?
Drawing himself up to his full height, he tugs at his uniform, straightening it, and walks away from sickbay. But his step falters. His mouth opens as if fighting for breath. He turns to look back, and his face crumples. Composing himself, he steps into the lift. Outside engineering, Kirk and two security guards hurry up to Scotty, who's still cutting through the bulkhead.
I will take you home, Kathleen.
Almost ready, sir.
Scotty finishes cutting. Kirk watches as he carefully prises off the small panel, puts his hand into the hole, and reaches for the actuator that will open the door. The security details stand by.
Ready, sir.
Follow me through. Put your phasers on stun. Don't fire unless he's armed. Go.
The door opens, and they burst in.
No dance tonight.
Get him out of here.
The guards drag Riley away. Scotty sits down at the main engineering panel. Walking down a corridor, Spock sobs. He finds himself outside a briefing room, steps inside, and leans back against the doors, covering his eyes with his hand. He squeezes the bridge of his nose.
I'm in control of my emotions. Control of my
emotions. He jerks his head to one side, furious with himself.
I am an officer.
He slams his fist into the palm of his hand.
My duty. My duty.
He steps away from the door and lurches towards the briefing table. Steadying himself on the back of a chair, he sits down in front of a small computer and view screen, gripping it tightly.
My duty is to...
He squeezes his eyes shut.
Too late. I'm sorry. Two, four, six.
He clenches his fists.
Six. Six times. Six.
Spock lowers his head to the desk.
Scotty, we haven't got much time left.
Bridge to captain.
Kirk hurries over to the console.
Kirk here.
Entering planet's outer atmosphere, sir.
Captain, what is it?
He's turned the engines off. Completely cold. It'll take 30 minutes to regenerate them.
Ship's outer skin is beginning to heat, Captain. Orbit plot shows we have about 8 minutes left.
Scotty, I can't change the laws of physics. I've got to have 30 minutes.
Alarm flickers in Kirk's eyes as he searches for a way ahead.
Captain's log supplemental. The Enterprise spiraling down out of control. Ship's outer skin heating rapidly due to friction with planet atmosphere.
Maybe 22, 23 minutes?
Scotty, we've got six.
Captain, you can't mix matter and antimatter. Cold. We go up on the biggest explosion.
We can balance our engines into a controlled implosion.
That's only a theory. It's never been done.
Bridge, have you found Mr. Spock yet?
If you wanted a chance, odds of 10,000 to 1, maybe, assuming we had a row of computers working weeks on the right formula.
Mr. Spock is not on the bridge, Captain.
In sickbay, McCoy stands over Sulu with a hypo spray.
I was on the bridge.
McCoy goes over to the intercom.
Hey, Doc, what am I doing here?
McCoy removes Nurse Chapel, who's still infected, from her seat.
McCoy to bio. We've isolated it. Start preparing serum.
What, Doctor?
It's water. Somehow on this planet, water's changed to a complex chain of molecules.
What's that, Doctor?
That's how we missed it. It passed from man to man through perspiration. Once in the bloodstream, it acts like alcohol. Depresses the centers of judgment, self-control. Now get someone to the lab. Tell them the serum works and start preparing more.
Doc, will you let me out of here? I'm all right.
Release!
Kirk finds Spock.
Engineers, man your stations. Engine rooms report. Cycling station report. This will be an emergency restart of engines.
My mother.
I could never tell her I loved her. We've got 4 minutes. Maybe five. An Earth woman. Living on a planet where love, emotion, bad taste.
We've got to risk a full power start. The engines were shut off. No time to regenerate. Do you hear me? We've got to risk a full power start.
I expected my father. Our customs. I was ashamed of my Earth.
Kirk slaps him.
Jim, when I feel friendship for you, I'm ashamed.
You've got to hear me!
Spock grabs him.
We need a formula! We've got to risk implosion!
Never been done! Understand, Jim. I spent a whole lifetime learning to hide my feelings.
Kirk slaps Spock again. Spock gives Kirk a backhand blow that sends him flying across the briefing room. They face each other over the table.
We've got to risk implosion. It's our only chance.
It's never been done.
Don't tell me that again, science officer. It's a theory. It's possible. We may go up into the biggest ball of fire since the last sun on these parts exploded, but we've got to take that 1 in 10,000 chance.
Bridge to captain. Engineer asked, did you find...
Yes, I found Mr. Spock. I'm talking to Mr. Spock, you understand?
Yes, sir. 3.5 minutes left, captain.
I've got it. The disease.
A change comes over his expression. His mouth convulses.
Love. You're better off without it, and I'm better off without mine.
He looks around.
This vessel. I give. She takes. She won't permit me my life. I've got to live hers.
Jim.
I have a beautiful yeoman. Have you noticed her, Mr. Spock? You're allowed to notice her. The captain's not permitted.
Jim. There is an intermix formula.
Kirk looks around the ship.
Now I know why. It's called she.
It's never been tested. It's a theoretical relationship between time and antimatter.
Flesh woman, to touch, to hold. A beach to walk on. A few days, no braid on my shoulder. Captain. Scotty. Help.
Stand by to intermix. I call the formula in from the bridge.
Entering upper stratosphere, Captain. Skin temperature now 2170 degrees.
I've got to hang on.
He struggles for self-control.
Tell them. Clear the corridors. The turbo lift. Hurry.
Spock and Scotty hurry off to engineering. Kirk pushes himself away from the briefing room table. Clenching his fists and keeping his arms rigid at his side, he walks stiffly, almost woodenly, towards the door.
Never lose your... Never.
The briefing room doors open, and Kirk steps into the corridor and heads for the lift. There's a smudge of blood at the corner of his mouth where Spock hit him. He enters the lift.
Bridge.
He glances at the doors. Someone has painted Sinner Repent on them in red letters. Kirk wipes the blood from the corner of his mouth. On the bridge, Uhura, a navigator, and Sulu, back at the helm, gaze at the planet's surface spinning ever closer. Kirk steps onto the bridge. McCoy rips down the sleeve of the captain's uniform and presses the hypospray to his arm. Kirk moves uncertainly towards the captain's chair and sits down. Everyone watches tensely and waits. Kirk opens a comms channel.
Engine room. We're set.
He looks at the spinning blue planet surface on the view screen.
Hyperbolic course.
Direction, sir.
Direction. Direction. It doesn't matter. The way we came.
Course laid in, sir.
In the engine room, Spock stands at Scotty's side.
Fuel temperature. Level.
On the bridge, Kirk looks at Yeoman Rand standing beside his chair. Unnoticed by her, he reaches out his hand, then lowers it sadly.
No beach to walk on.
Janice turns.
Sir?
Raise antimatter 840 degrees.
That'll take 4 minutes.
We haven't the time, we'll have to risk it. Bridge, we're ready.
Kirk takes a deep breath.
Engage.
Everyone on the bridge, Kirk with Janice by his side, Sulu and Brent at the con, McCoy, Uhura, and the engineering officer on the raised outer gallery of consoles looks anxiously at the screen and braces themselves as the engines engage. The lights dim, and the bridge crew throw back their heads in agony. On the view screen, the blue ice planet disappears. The stars move, receding rapidly as if falling into a long, dark tunnel. The lights on the bridge return to full power. Everyone looks around with relieved but puzzled expressions. Spock steps out of the turbolift onto the bridge. He comes to Kirk's side.
Are you all right, Jim?
You?
We found a cure. We're over that part of it.
Obviously, we were successful. The engines imploded.
Captain, my velocity gauge is off the scale.
Engine power went off the scale as well. We're now traveling faster than is possible for normal space.
Check elapsed time, Mr. Sulu.
The dial showing elapsed seconds is spinning in the wrong direction.
My chronometer's running backwards, sir.
Kirk leans forward, gazing at the screen.
Time warp. We're going backward in time.
The stars drop away faster and faster in the forward view screen. Spock hurries to his station and checks his instruments.
Helm, begin reversing power.
Sulu pushes forward the controls and the rushing stars slow down.
Slowly. Helm answering, sir. Power reversing.
The elapsed time chronometer slows, comes to a halt, and starts turning in the opposite direction. The stars on the screen disappear for a moment, then reappear, traveling towards the ship.
We're back to normal time, Captain.
Engines ahead. Warp one.
Warp one, sir.
Mr. Spock.
Yes, sir.
The time warp. What did it do to us?
We've regressed in time 71 hours. It is now 3 days ago, Captain. We have 3 days to live over again.
Kirk glances up at Spock with a wry smile.
Not those last 3 days.
This does open some intriguing prospects, Captain. Since the formula worked, we can go back in time. To any planet, any era.
We may risk it someday, Mr. Spock. Resume course to our next destination, Mr. Sulu.
Course laid in, sir.
Steady as she goes.
The bridge crew all gaze ahead at the forward view screen as the USS Enterprise heads into deep space. This audio description was written and produced by IMS for the Sci-Fi Channel.